Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special themed episode.
Really excited. This is the first time we're doing this theme.
This particular theme, yes. You're correct.
Let's do it. Ready?
What's
the? This will be the CFN DVD closet.
DVD closet.
Episode one.
Do you have DVDs that are gay and want to come out and be comfortable with who they are?
That should have brought that movie.
No, actually, what we're doing.
First up, Cabaret.
I think that movie's been out of the closet.
I have a celluloid closet. That's why I almost brought it.
This is like our guest, whose voice you've heard, the lovely Jackie Cation.
Hello and welcome to me. Thank you.
From the wonderful Dork Forest and a writer in the comedy film Nerd Guide to Movies. Has literally brought a couple bags of DVDs from her closet, and we're going to go over what she's got.
Because you guys were like, well, what theme would you like to do? And I said, well, I've been watching all of the set up to the Avengers movies on a rotation, and then I saw Mike Schmidt last night, and he started talking about comic book movies, and I was like, oh, everybody knows more than me. So
I don't think that's true.
Well, Jackie, no one's more enthusiastic than I am. How about that? I make up for it in enthusiasm.
So you actually even watched The Hulk in your enthusiasm.
I just got it. It just entered the rotation, and I was going to put it after Captain America, but I understand it belongs between Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2.
It does, yes.
That's where
so
it belongs.
So this is the order. You have Iron Man 1, The Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, and Captain America. This is the rotation you have, and these are all in blue.
This is the lead up to the Avengers. These are all prequels to the Avengers.
So what I like to do is I like to watch all of those, and then I like to go see the Avengers again, and then I like to watch all of them.
That sounds awesome.
It is awesome, and I've seen the Avengers 4 times. It's quite nice.
I want to come to your home.
Yes, and then just have it playing in the background. And I'll tell you something, Iron Man 2, much better in this rotation. You know, because remember, I don't know if you guys were, people were slightly disappointed when they saw
it. I was very disappointed with Iron Man 2.
In this, if you watch them all together, you're like, oh my God, it's great. It's
really?
Yes. It actually is much better if you watch them in this series.
I need a Blu-ray player.
Or a PS3 machine.
Yep. Watch it here on the PS3. Now, that's interesting because it's basically set up like comic books. I mean, finally, like, these movies are actually mimicking, you know, the way comic books are. All right, well, you have the individual books, and then you have the team book.
Right.
Which is
the Avengers.
Avengers,
right.
Yeah, so now, do you notice any inconsistencies? Because now that after the Avengers has been shot and you've seen it, you go back to, like, you know, the Iron Man, like, the extras, like, at the end after credits. Are there any of those little scenes that are like, well, that doesn't quite match up?
Well, there's always, like, the Hulk was interesting because
like the Evil Dead movies, when the ends and they kind of changed, you know, two to three. Yeah.
Okay. I have not noticed that. What I did notice is because I had, you know, I'd only seen the Avengers and I hadn't seen the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton. That's what we're talking about.
Yes.
Not Ang Lee.
No.
Not,
that doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Mm-mm. Though Stuart Lee has the best joke. Stuart Lee, British UK comic, was one of the co-writers of Jerry Springer, the opera. stand-up comic, one of the greatest stand-up comics in the world. If you get a chance, YouTube Google Stuart Lee and the Hulk, and he does an amazing Hulk bit about how he called up Ang Lee, and he said to Ang Lee after the movie came out, "Don't make me Ang Lee." You wouldn't like me when I'm Ang Lee. And it is one of the most obnoxious, hilarious jokes in the world. And it goes on forever, by the way. So Stuart Lee, people do that. In other news, so this Incredible Hulk business is great. I mean, I think I've never cared about the Hulk. I know that Matt Weinhold, it's his favorite character. A lot of people love the Hulk. I am, I've always been like, whatever, man. But I loved Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, he's so good.
Really summed it up when he said, I don't think I really got the Bruce Banner. He's always angry.
No spoiler.
Is that a spoiler?
Yeah, for a moment in the movie. Yeah.
Oh, for the moment. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But that's the thing about the Hulk. And the Incredible Hulk is incredibly well done. And I think Ed Norton really nailed it.
Really? But, now, see, I was disappointed with that movie.
Were you?
Yes.
Okay.
I felt like it was, and you actually saw it with Ed Norton and all the behind the scenes with the promotion, like he wouldn't promote it, and he was like wanted to change the script while they were shooting. It really looked like it was like, well, what does this movie want to be? Where's it going? And it looked like it was going in multiple directions at once, where you look at Iron Man or even Captain America, it was a distinct vision and story. It went one direction, you could see it, although all directions led to the Avengers. But I thought now this was much better than the Ang Lee version, right. But I felt it was definitely still disappointing. Still didn't get it right.
Oh, I thought, well, maybe because I don't know enough about The Incredible Hulk, but I thought that, I mean, and it was a sad sack kind of, you know, it was essentially Bruce Banner's life is falling apart, and Ed Norton, I think, nails that, you know? And then Matt Weinhold said a very interesting thing last night, hanging out with him as well, but he said that he thought Mark Ruffalo was better only because The Avengers was so much lighter, and Mark Ruffalo was funnier than Ed Norton would have been.
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I think it really just kind of missed. I think this The Incredible Hulk just missed the mark. It didn't really know where it was going.
I genuinely liked it. But I thought
Ruffalo's Hulk. I don't think it was because it was lighter. I think Ruffalo really nailed what the Hulk is kind of about. It's like, you know, this tortured guy who just can't get rid of this. I mean, I don't think it was
a torture guy. He saw his wife die, couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. I don't think it was a matter of, it being lighter. I think it was a matter of more getting on the mark with the character.
Well, you should definitely talk to Matt Weinhold about that. Because,
we'll have him in here. Yeah, we'll discuss
because,
it.
If
I could get him off Prometheus.
Exactly. Did he like it or hate it? Prometheus.
Hated it.
Mm-hmm. I think I missed that part of his chitter chat about it. But it was,
well, it sounds like in the rotation, you're a little more forgiving of some of these movies.
Very much so,
well,
because
I want to test that theory.
Okay.
I want to test the theory because I was very disappointed with Iron Man 2. But it does make sense. It would, like if you read a bunch of comic books all in a row, like episodes 50 through 75, mm-hmm. you're not going to single one out and go, this one was such a disappointment. You're just going to kind of go, okay, cool.
Next.
And, got this information.
They got this back
now,
together.
Let's get to the Avengers.
Yeah, I'm reading Powers right now with Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis writes this comic book called Powers, and it is glacially. Is that the correct word? Who knows? It's fucking slow is what it is. It's an irritant.
they've always been slow, those
it's
folks.
It's an irritant.
It's a, and so.
Wash your eyes, please.
But the last one that just came out here in June was awesome. And Bendis, nobody writes dialogue like that guy. That guy writes amazing dialogue.
It's thick.
But, and it's snappy. It's got good pace to it. But I'll tell you this, stuff doesn't happen. So I was very excited when something happened in Powers. I was kind of bored with Powers, and so this one I'm back. It's exactly
Powers,
that.
Something happens at the beginning
yep.
and the end. And in the middle, there's a lot of talking. A lot of pages of talking.
Yeah. There's some chitter chat, and then some chitter chat. But it was. And
occasionally, there's some superhero sex, and about roughly in the middle.
Right. Not as. Is that where it's being kept, the sex? In the middle? Bow, chick, bow, bow. You said middle. Anyway, what?
Well,
yeah. So I recommend everyone watch all five movies in a row.
In that particular order.
And then go see the Avengers again.
I want to do that because I love the Avengers and I need to see it again.
Yes.
And I want to see all these movies again.
I saw it in 3D finally because it was only...
Was it worth it?
No, it's dumb. I mean, it was fine. Exactly. It was fine, but it
didn't add anything.
It was only available in 3D in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It was playing
one
place.
Which is the best place to go see Avengers.
To go see it. The popcorn, I believe, was $1.50.
Oh, I love small town movie theaters. Yeah, yeah.
You're going to save money in the long run.
Yep.
And, yeah, the movie ticket was probably like $4 or something like that.
It was about $7, I think, because it was with the 3D.
Yeah, it had the
$4 bump.
The surcharge.
Yes.
So, all right, let's go on to some of your... You've got literally stacks of DVDs.
Let's go to some more obscure stuff that you've got.
Okay, because I went to... Because when I said, well, I'm just going to pull all of my what I consider superhero movies, except for they're not really. They're just more action movies, I guess.
Yeah, well, pull the more obscure ones. Let's pull out.
Okay, so Galaxy Quest, comedy film nerds.
Great movie.
Everybody loves a Galaxy Quest,
Galaxy Quest,
right?
I'm sorry. This movie is...
Classic comedy.
It's classic comedy. And the best thing about the DVD is the special features, how it is so loud how much they do not mention Star Trek. Like, so clearly, you can just see there is like 15 lawyers hanging over everything. And they're
awesome.
Well, we just wanted a parody. Just like,
don't even say Star.
I know, it's so like, this is Star Trek. He's playing Shatner. He's playing Shatner.
He's playing Shatner.
Oh my God.
And with all movies with Alan Rickman, all I could think of is more Alan Rickman.
Oh, he's.
And this is what made this movie amazing. It's ultimately a parody at heart, but here's how parodies succeed or fail. if you come to it from a position of love, clearly, you know, the director, Dean Parasot, loved Star Trek. And science fiction. And when you come from a parody of, I'm just going to make fun of this, and you know, because it's dumb.
Oh, yeah.
It never, you know, it doesn't have the resonance if it does as it comes from like from just that perspective of like, I really love this and it make this would make me
and
laugh.
Wouldn't it be great if these guys actually had to fight aliens?
Yeah, like,
clearly that was where it started.
Yes.
Right. So it was. This is a great. It's a great movie. If you haven't seen it yet, and here's the interesting thing about it too. When it first came out, the opening weekend, oh, this is a bomb. This isn't making any money. It's a bomb. And then all of a sudden, you see, it was one of those word of mouth slow burn. Like, oh, it's still in theaters because word started getting out and it started to build, and it eventually became successful. But you know, the analysts are like always judge first weekend, and nope. This one was a slow burn. It made a lot of money in a longer amount of time because it was given a chance to actually stay in movie theaters and actually find an audience.
Right. It's sort of like, well, probably not, because I mean, I don't know any of the business part of it, but it reminds me, and when you said that, all I could think of was Idiocracy, which I don't think I brought, but Idiocracy, it never, I heard that they didn't get distribution.
You can still mention it if you didn't bring it.
Right. I didn't bring it. Damn it.
You can still mention it. It's okay.
But I loved Idiocracy. And
it's a great movie. Well, I think what they do is whenever Mike Judge releases a movie, they're like, all right, we're going to make it, but we're going to bury it. Yeah. I think that must be in his contract.
Well, just checking real quick on Galaxy Quest, its budget was $45 million, and it had a $7 million opening weekend, which was Christmas weekend of 99. And so people were like, oh my God, tank,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
It ended up grossing $71 million by April. So and this is 99. So this is pre-Twitter, Facebook buzz.
Right.
But the fact that
when they say word of mouth, it actually was word of mouth.
Right. Yeah. People were actually talking to one another out loud.
Thank God those days are done. Yeah. all right. What else you got?
Well, I think we've covered most of these. So Hitchhiker's Guide. Did you guys like that? Did you guys like Hitchhiker's Guide?
No, I didn't like that movie.
Like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. No. I thought it was great.
Read every book. Didn't love the
you read like 4 and 5.
Oh, everyone. I even did the Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency.
I read that too. That was also like cutting myself. But you know what? I'll tell you something about I forget his name now. Who's the author?
Douglas Adams.
There we go. So Douglas Adams, I love the first three of the books, and then I loved his nonfiction where he goes around. It's called Last Chance to See, and it was where he goes around and makes fun of endangered species. It's actually really sad and funny and hilarious.
Is that a book?
It's a book that he wrote called Last Chance to See.
That's not even in, like, I have a giant book that has all of his books in it. It's not in that one.
No, it's nonfiction. It wouldn't be. But this, I thought that they really caught the heart of it. I mean, it was maybe, granted, my brothers have told me more than once that I will watch a test pattern if the colors change often enough. So
yes, I don't think I think they missed it. I don't think they got it. But also, it's such a weird, you know, subject matter. Is it possible to film it?
Right. It is weird. It is.
And then there was even a BBC. Do you remember there was a BBC TV series that tried to do Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yeah, yeah, which I never did get to see. Oh, Graham's found one.
X-Men United? X2.
X2, the second X-Men movie. People love it.
Oh, let's get to Porco Rosso.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
all right.
This one...
So we can get rid of the Porco Rosso, of course, Miyazaki. Is that correct?
It is a Miyazaki, and it's one of the ones one of the few ones of his movies I didn't really love.
There were a couple I didn't love.
And it was interesting. It's, you know, Michael Keaton does the voice of this pig that flies a fighter plane.
Right.
So you're already in like a weird space to begin with. And, you know, it's also very relative when you say weird space with a Miyazaki movie.
Right, right. They're always weird. My favorite one, of course, is Nausicaa.
Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind. Definitely like that better. Ponyo, definitely like that. A lot better.
Ponyo made me laugh. Ponyo's more mainstream.
It skews much younger, too.
Yeah.
It's for younger kids.
It does. Now, Porco Rosso, I did like... I mean, I have all of his stuff. So I've got Howl the Moving Castle.
Were they working on a sequel, or they were going to... I think this character came back in something. I don't remember.
Very possible. But he was just... he was a World War One vet that felt bad about the people that he had killed. And
turned into a pig.
And turned into a pig because he felt ugly inside. And then love healed him. Spoiler alert. Anyway, it's a cartoon, folks. You can't really. And it's Miyazaki.
Actual World War I vet didn't turn into a pig? I'm confused.
Spirited Away, I think, is one of my favorites.
You love Spirited Away?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
Won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
And Princess Mononoke is the famous one.
Princess Mononoke is
the
amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And that one's like the one, the first PG-13 kind of bloody violent one. That
right.
And although the newest one, the Borrowers, it was really, really nice too.
I liked it.
It was a much smaller movie in scope than what they normally do.
Right.
But it was just like a fun, kind of cute, heartfelt movie. All the movies, they look amazing. You know, even in the slow scenes and the slow parts, you're watching this giant screen with all these brilliant, vibrant colors and things going on. It's mesmerizing.
Yeah, the guys in them, I mean, the work is amazing. It really is. And the story is always, it's slow, which I usually do not enjoy.
But it's so well done. In such a way that you're like, okay, all right, I'm on board, even though it's...
And I don't like giant bugs, but Nausicaa of the Valley of the Wind...
It's got a lot of giant bugs in it.
It's all about the giant bugs. It's about the giant bugs that are misunderstood giant bugs, and they're awesome.
Looks like you bought it at Walmart, too.
I might have. Sometimes I go to
Walmart.
Also
misunderstood.
Yes.
That's a misunderstood giant bug. That sucks.
That's crazy.
I see on your stack, and I want to go back to this, Superman 2, you have the special collection, because I have this one as two.
Yeah.
Do you have the special Richard Donner one?
I might.
Oh, no, this is...
No, that's not it.
Oh, this is a different one.
Oh, should I get that one, the special? Because this one is not a Blu-ray.
The Richard Donner Superman 2 one is basically just came out like a year or two ago, and he got to kind of get...
Re-edit it,
mm-hmm. because there was a big fight when he did Superman 2, and all this stuff. And so on it, too, is an interview with Richard Donner talking about the fight he went through in the 80s with Superman 2 and where he's at and what he wanted to do.
Right.
And you get to see sort of the new vision of it. It's really cool. That is one of the best things about DVDs is directors can kind of show you...
There can be another version.
Yeah, even though sometimes they're wrong, like Part 2, Apocalypse.
Well, what about now, what's the
Redux.
Best Blade Runner I should get? There's too many different versions.
I think it's, for me...
The director's cut? The original director's cut?
I think it's sort of a personal preference.
I think the original director's cut is...
Is sort of the consensus?
It's after, you know, when the first re-release. Then it started getting a little crazy. I mean, how many times are you going to re-release?
That's not okay.
So, but that's... you know, it's an interesting thing. Now, Blade Runner's the kind of movie, though, no matter what cut you watch...
Mm-hmm.
Still going to be a pretty good movie. When you've got a movie like Take Brazil, and I have that Criterion collection in my collection, is that Brazil is multiple cuts, and you can see where a studio literally fucked it up, because you have the director's cut, but you also have the Love Conquers All cut, which slaps a happy ending on the movie, changes it completely, makes it shorter, and makes it no sense. Like, all of a sudden, this makes no sense. You've made stuff that was dream sequences now are reality. it went to the point where, and they interviewed, I remember seeing on the extras, again, on the Criterion collection, all of the interviews with Terry Gilliam and all the fights that he went through with this, and how some of them he lost and some of them he won, and ultimately won when he got his own film print and screened it for critics. He had to like steal it from the studio.
Oh, that's cool.
And then it won, and then they released the longer cut. But he said that when they were doing the Love Conquers All cut, he would like the editors would call him. He was like, oh, we're doing this to your movie. And you're doing this movie. And he was like, I already finished my movie. Mine's done. Why? He goes, no, we're trying to help you. And then he's hung up on it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, how are you helping? You're ruining my movie. I already cut my movie.
You know what? I listened to that Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants. Mm-hmm. And she said one of the jobs as an executive producer of something is to stifle creativity. And she was like, you'd think that you would want to nurture it and somehow encourage people. And she's like, and everyone's very, very talented, but if what you've asked for is a muffin on a white plate for Saturday Night Live, and they're like, well, what we did is we made a cake, a giant cake shaped like a harp, and we put it on this gold platter because we thought it'd be funny. And you're like, That it is beautiful. It is gorgeous. What we're going to need is a muffin on a white plate. If you could undo. Oh, my God. So, And then your Roger Rabbits, your Toy Story, your Incredibles.
Yes.
The Incredibles is one of the, I mean, prior to the Avengers, I would say this was the best superhero movie in the world.
It was unexpected.
It's unexpected, and
oh, you guys have talked about this before.
It has such a heart to it.
Yeah.
That, you know, yeah, it's got its, but it isn't just a kids' movie. That's the thing.
No.
Like, you don't have to have small children to enjoy this film. Like, it's really awesome, and the message that it has, and you know, unlock the hero within, and you know,
yeah,
your fullest potential, and I think it's great.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Beneath that, I see another, like,
The Last Starfighter. Yes.
Hello, wow, is that 1980s.
Is that Last Starfighter on Blu-ray?
Yes. 25th anniversary edition.
Wow.
$5 at Target.
No.
$5 at Target.
Why
it's pretty
wouldn't
awesome.
Be selling more?
Why wouldn't I buy that? Why wouldn't I? And what are the
additional features? It's $20
features?
On DVD.
They have, and it has Robert Preston in it, and because somebody told me that this is the movie that they should remake, and I was like, really?
Yes,
you think that
yes.
they could?
That's a great idea.
Of course.
Except for that, the game would have to be an app. I watched it and I was like, well, how does Robert Preston find the last starfighter? It would have to be an app.
Or it would Remember, just be, it'd have to be a home console game.
It'd have to be a home console game. And it's
and he shows
it makes
up as
it
a traveling
harder.
Salesman.
Yeah, it's too hard. It's too hard to get somebody in. What are you selling, Cutco? And he shows up at your door. And those are knives.
I don't think it's hard.
You don't think it's because the thing
he's
is
an alien detective.
It's true. Once you turn it into something noiry, and then the opportunities are open. Yeah, but it weirdly holds up. Like the graphics don't, but sure.
But the story does.
The story does.
Oh, it's a classic story. It's almost like a Seven Samurai.
Mm. Oh right.
Because
it's got that. And it's coming of age. It's The Chosen.
Right.
But no.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, actually, because I just bought the anniversary edition of War Games.
Oh,
that still holds up.
I am
up.
So sorry not to own that. I am so sorry that I need to own that. I genuinely
I had to get it on Amazon, though. Couldn't find it in stores.
Oh, my God. I'm having trouble with Amazon these days.
And one of the reasons I wanted to buy it, too, is because we talked about this before. Read the book Ready Player One.
Oh, Ready Player One. Have you not read Ready Player One?
It's amazing.
Ernest Cline has written what is essentially a Hunger Games for 40-year-old nerds. Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
you will
I
lose
didn't think
your
that,
tiny
yeah.
lizard mind
like,
if you watch
You read this book, you're like, I used to do that when I was in high school. It's that kind of book. Like, oh my God, I thought I was the only one that did that.
Yeah,
what's it called again?
Ready Player One. It's essentially...
And one of the challenges they have to go through, it's like a big virtual reality futuristic thing, but they have to go through all these 80s challenges. One of them is you have to go through the movie War Games and recite the lines through.
Yeah, hell, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it worked.
Yeah.
Real genius. There's a real genius walkthrough. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, Ready Player One, and it got optioned, and I had him on the Dork
Forest. I can't imagine how you could possibly shoot that movie with all the rights issues involved.
Oh, that's
true.
Because
there's a million things that they reference and
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it's true.
And they all have different right holders, you know.
Yeah.
Rights holders.
Yeah.
But so you'd have to literally lose, you know, half. Like, whoever optioned it, Warner Brothers, okay, anything that Warner Brothers doesn't own, we're not putting in the movie.
Right. And so they'd have to just work around it. But if you Google Dork Forest and Ernest Cline, you can listen to me interview. It's a live one from Austin, Texas. And it's a great episode. He owns a 1982 flux capacitor DeLorean. Yeah.
How did he get that? Where did he get that?
He bought it and then he tricked it out. And he also, sitting on his, there's a picture in the notes section. There's a, sitting on the, it was right after Halloween that I did it, that I recorded it with him. So sitting on the seat next to him is a power pack because he got dressed as a time traveling Ghostbuster. And he had the Ghostbuster power pack that he had made as well. He's used all of his money. He did a movie called Fanboys. You remember that movie?
Yes.
Fanboys?
Uh-huh.
He did that movie. And it was the one where the guy wanted to see the
Phantom Menace before it came out. Yeah.
And I said, it was such a sad movie, I said to Ernest Cline. I said, first of all, he died of cancer. And second of all, he had to see the Phantom Menace before he died of cancer. It's so sad. And he just laughed. He was like, I know. There's trouble.
V for Vendetta. Speaking of comic book movies. Now, I got to say, this is the kind of movie where I thought, there's no way they're going to get this comic book right. It's not going to be right. They're not going to get the essence of it. You know, Alan Moore is obviously not going to be involved because he takes his name off of every single movie that's made from his work.
Right.
And it's great. I love the movie.
I like it better than the comic book.
No.
Yep.
Bite
yes,
your
I
tongue.
Did. Yes, I did.
I have
you know
to
what?
Say, I like them both.
Okay. But separate, but equal? Will you go Brown versus Board of Education? What are we doing here?
I would go apples and oranges.
Okay.
I liked them both for the medium that they were.
I was unmoved by the comic book.
Really?
What? I know it. I hated Margaret Thatcher as much as Alan Moore, but I couldn't care.
Are you kidding me?
I know it. I had a hard time with Watchmen, too. I know. People are going to hunt me down and bury me headfirst in the sand.
The movie captured it, though. The movie captured that.
It did nail the heart of it.
Yes.
Because Alan Moore is a genius. And Alan
Moore
is...
Yes, there's no question.
And that guy writes... He's amazing. But
Natalie Portman was perfectly cast.
Yeah. She nailed it.
And
Victor with Hugo, right?
Yeah.
Or Hugo Weaving.
Hugo Weaving.
That's it.
And I got to say normally egregious changes in endings really bother me, but I will say that the change in the DVD or not the DVD, but in the movie versus the film, I was kind of okay with it.
Movie versus the comic.
Movie versus the comic. Because I was like, okay,
it's okay to change stuff in the movie if it makes sense for the movie.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
as
long as it's not arbitrary, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought everything flowed nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The movie is great.
I agree.
And I can reread things. I can be taught simple tasks. I can take it all back.
Taught simple tasks.
I can undo
Folks,
things.
I can learn by Jackie, repetition.
Teach Jackie some simple tasks on the Facebook fan page.
What do we, you guys like anything?
Are we up on Some Like It Hot now? Wow. We're really jumping around genres, decades, everything.
Well, what happened was is now we've gone through all my action movies. We went obscure action movies. And here's weird or these Kelly's are older Heroes. Ones.
Right, well, I just mentioned this, so let's stay on Some Like It Hot.
Is with the those are with the classics. I like to
Marilyn Monroe, Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon.
Can't really beat it, quite honestly.
You know, I'm sure a lot of our audience hasn't seen this movie yet because it's
in black and white.
It's
so sad.
They're harder to find now. These movies are hard to find. But if you have like a Netflix account or anywhere, definitely seek this movie out. And you have to understand, too, this was, what, 50-something?
Yeah. I think it was 50s.
This is who Marilyn, she was who she was.
And, you know, comedians dressing
59.
As women...
Yeah,
this is when it was still kind of fresh.
And you know the message of this movie is, of course, to not date saxophone players. That is the B plot.
And if we haven't learned anything from this movie,
you got to learn
as society. Or
that's got to be your takeaway.
That's your takeaway. Is that? But they really do. I mean, all Jack Lemmon movies are great. No, all the ones that I like are great. I haven't seen all of Jack Lemmon's movies. I have to.
He's amazing. I mean, Jack Lemmon is one of those guys. You look at his body of work. I mean, all his comedy stuff was great.
Yeah.
And then you look at like Days of Wine and Roses.
Right, which is talk about a tearjerker, man.
That's such a good, and he's so
and
good.
And he nails it.
He nails this, the twitchy alcoholic.
Do you know who I think is the modern day Jack Lemmon?
Hmm.
Steve Carell.
Oh, interesting.
You know what?
I could kind of see that.
We just had this discussion on a couple episodes ago with Jimmy Pardo about what I would like Steve Carell to do after seeing Looking for a Friend or Searching for a Friend for the End of the World.
And the conclusion was play Jack Lemmon.
Play Jack Lemmon.
Oh.
No, he needs to be... He's falling into a little bit of the playing the same guy rut.
Yeah.
For Crazy Stupid Love. And he's the same guy in from Crazy Stupid Love that he is in Searching
Dan
for
in
a
real
Friend.
Life.
Yeah, and all just, that...
Yeah.
And I want to see him.
He isn't that guy.
He isn't. I want to see him play. And I said this in that episode. I want to see him be a dick. I want to see him. Like, take Jack Lemmon from, and this is spanning his career, but take Jack Lemmon when he was in those disaster movies. You know, he was
the
pilot in Airport
76 or
Airport 77?
Okay.
I believe. And then. He was, that was the one that goes underwater and then they have to use the balloons to raise it up. Yeah, Jack Lemmon's one of the pilots in it. And then watch him in Glengarry Glen Ross as this shifty, mean, but kind of a Willie Loman type salesman.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I know
is inside of Steve Carell.
We just haven't seen it.
You know, if
and maybe he's getting Heath
Ledger. Not even in Get Smart.
Right. Or in Dan in Real Life, and I think I wrote this on my review of Dan in Real Life, is that everybody just being around in Steve Carell raises everybody's game. Dane Cook was great in Dan in Real Life. There's no reason he should have been. Not that Dane Cook, I mean, he just played, everybody just was better. I mean, but I do think Dan in Real Life would have been a much better movie, a much dumber but more entertaining movie for me and not quite as distracting if it would have been Hugh Grant and Sandra Bullock. It would have been like an entirely different movie, but it would have been one that I would have enjoyed, I think, more. Just because he's too complex. Hugh Grant plays a two-dimensional creature better than Steve Carell does.
Yeah, there's so much there that in Steve Carell that he just, he came onto the scene as the wacky bit in like Anchorman and then 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Right.
And, you know, he's great on The Office or was great on The Office. And then there's some of these other parts are just like Date Night. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, I know there's somebody else there. I know there's more. It's like watching Heath Ledger all those years just play this sort of good looking hunk guy.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know that there's more. And then Brokeback Mountain, you're like, oh, wow. And then is obviously his last role,
Batman.
You're just like, holy shit. And I really feel like there's someone like that.
For sure, and I think that there's so much potential there. And feel free to I love all of these old romantic comedies, but if you want to do something, put them in Philadelphia Story. Put them in, remake something that is near and dear to my heart that I will be angry that you've remade it, but give him something to work with. You know, His Girl Friday, Steve Carell as in the Cary Grant part would be amazing.
Yeah.
Just because Cary Grant was a dick.
Yeah.
A dick that she fell in love with against her will. And in the end, they're, you know, Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon, they also fell in love.
Steve Martin in The Spanish Prisoner. Now, it's a smaller, Mamet film. And, you know, it's got some Mamet-y stuff in there. but Steve Martin was not wacky Steve Martin in that movie.
Right.
And you look at a part like that and you go, there's a part like that for Steve Carell.
And for Jim Carrey somewhere, too.
And for Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speaking of a guy that...
Who should do more of that.
Who never got to stretch, really. And now he's 77 years old, and he's in all the Mingling Wrinkles movies. Anyway, Nancy, what's her face? Anyway.
Mingling Wrinkles movies.
It's
a series of animated clown movies. Mingling Wrinkles.
It's a series of old people romantic comedies. Yeah. It's complicated.
Mingling Wrinkles. Is that a new genre?
That's the genre, Mingling Wrinkles. I think of it as the boomers get older.
The Marigold Hotel.
Yeah.
was that the Dame Judy Dench in India thing?
That's her.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
It's
still out.
That's the Mingling Wrinkles from the UK. Mingling Wrinkles Go to the Ashram.
Yes. I remember when we owned this country.
Oh, damn you, Gandhi.
Have you guys ever seen Professor Elemental? He's a hip-hop guy who dresses steampunk Victorian, whatever. It's very...
I don't know how we missed that.
A steampunk Victorian hip-hop guy? Yeah.
Where's that?
If you Google Professor Elemental and fighting trousers, you will get yourself a hip-hop song with a guy in a pith helmet. And it's good times.
The best kind.
And that's it. It's so, I don't know.
What else you got there?
What else I got? I got you guys want to go? I got all of I got all the Marx Brothers.
Oh, classic, classic. Guy. Now, quick, favorite Marx Brother movie? Don't think about it.
Duck Soup.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
Is that right?
It is. Okay. That's right. You win.
Did I win the?
Watch that over and over again. Duck Soup. In fact, I got my.
I do like animal crackers though.
Good, but no duck soup.
Oh, horse feathers also good.
And you know, I got my daughter. Now it's like, well, if you're going to watch these dumb Disney Channel shows, you're going to watch some classic comedy too.
Yeah, and, educate your children.
Yeah, and watch
Bring
Duck Soup.
Bring it up a notch.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Really funny.
No reason not to.
Yeah.
And even though many a Marx Brothers movie has in it a problem that I have from from the musicals, which is there's usually a long harp solo, where
yeah,
you're
what
like,
is that about those?
I'm gonna go make a sandwich. It turns out, or now's the time to make popcorn.
But Marx Brothers, they did long harp solos in like multiple of their movies.
It's because
well,
of Harpo.
Know people yes. need sandwiches,
and they know have people to take need it literally. To go to the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah.
and then the road movies. Andy doesn't like them. Andy doesn't like the road
how
movies.
How many? How many were there?
Well, he's right in the fact that there were too many.
Yes.
There should only have been three. And they're the and it's what you want is you want the road to Singapore, you want Zanzibar, and you want Morocco. You don't want Utopia. You don't want anything after that. I think that because this particular package has four of them. And I think
that's
that there
a lot
were,
of road.
That's a lot of road. It's too many roads. Matter of fact, it might be just the first two that are good.
On the road.
These were, I think it was $11.99 for all four of these
wow.
movies.
On the road to the bank.
$12 for four
for
roads.
Bing Crosby. And,
now I see over here, changing genres a little bit, Kelly's Heroes.
One of the greatest
I love
comedy war movies.
It is a comedy war movie. But it really oh I got some mail. I know that's really loud. People listening are mad. Because I
yeah, Carol O'Connor.
It's got everybody in it.
Don Rickles.
Yeah, it's got Kiefer Sutherland's dad. Huh?
Who doesn't you know what? Sutherland's dad? I think that's how he's billed, right?
Exactly. He's like, I think I have a baby named Kiefer.
Comedy war movies?
Yeah.
Difficult to pull off.
Right, because a little sad sack. And then there's the guy that looks like Dolph Lundgren, but who isn't?
Mm-hmm.
You know that sort of mashed-in face Nazi guy in the tank?
It's better to go, I mean, and Kiefer Sutherland's dad plays kind of a lunatic in this movie.
Yeah.
It is, this pulls it off. It is tough. The better angle, I think, that works typically is the Dirty Dozen angle of a serious action movie that has comedic parts.
Has some light elements.
Oh, right,
to it.
Like a lot of John Wayne stuff or more Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
You guys name a war comedy movie that did not work, and I just saw this again recently, and I'm like, oh yeah, this did not work at all, even though I love the book. Catch 22.
Catch 22.
Terrible movie.
Yeah,
terrible
not
movie.
Funny. That's
no,
why.
No, and there was like a couple scenes, I'm like, wait, is that Bob Newhart in like a scene trying to be my name? Like, well, he's funny, but the movie isn't funny and the scene isn't funny. So
right.
what happened? How
it's,
do you make
sort
Bob
of like
Newhart
making one
not
flew
funny?
Over the cuckoo's nest into the hilarity of craziness. And the word cuckoo's in the title, so you think it's going to be funny, and you accidentally watch it, and you're like,
do you
no.
guys like lobotomies and suicide? Then you're going to love cuckoos.
But I do like giant Indians.
Hey, they're great, especially when they pick up things and throw them through a wall.
Catch 22 is one of those had 100 stars.
Matt?
In Yeah. Well, MASH, you know,
MASH,
it found
MASH
a sweet
and
spot,
Hero-
I
yeah.
think.
MASH and Kelly's Heroes, but they couldn't... MASH was better as a sitcom. I don't think they could have made Kelly's Heroes as... We're constantly looking for Nazi gold. It was just one episode after
Every,
another.
Well, then it'd be like
it's in this town.
Then it'd
know?
Be like a war version of Scooby-Doo.
It totally would be. And how about the Big Easy? Did you guys see the Big Easy?
Oh, Dennis Quaid, Alan Barkin. Wow.
This is one of the dumbest cop movies ever, but it's got, of course, that guy in it. What the hell?
It's got Dennis Quaid doing a...
Ned Beatty.
Orleans accent.
New Orleans accent, which is brutal. But and then it's got the original Squinty McClintock, Ellen Barkin. Yeah,
there's some hot steamy scenes in there.
It is the hottest sex scene that I saw this I think in college, and that's what made me love it because I love that sex scene that was in it. And then but Ellen Barkin, I call her the current the original Squinty McClintock, taken over by who is in Chicago and is all squinty now.
Zoe Delwigger.
Renee
Zellweger.
That's it.
Zoe Delwigger.
Yep. But the Big Easy actually...
You really should see more Zoe Delwood.
Oh, Veronica Delacroix? Is that who you're saying?
You guys are punchy.
Yeah.
Oh and, we've done like four episodes in a day, yeah. 1 hour.
So yeah, so I would recommend people see the Big Easy though, because it isn't bad as a cop movie. I mean, it's no Serpico. But... But let's compare it to Serpico.
Yeah, it absolutely needs to be mentioned in the same sentence as Serpico.
If there's one thing we can all agree on, is that it's no Serpico.
Yeah, Freddy Got Fingered is no Saving Private Ryan, you guys.
Battleship was no Midway.
Sands of Iwo Jima.
I think we're getting into your guilty pleasure section.
Oh, yeah. We are too.
Easily.
Now that we're at music and lyrics.
Music and lyrics.
Did you? In Brazil.
That's right.
And it was subtitled with Portuguese, obviously. By the way, someone posted one of my things for my video where I sing in Portuguese. They're like, it's not Portuguese, it's Brazilian. It's called Brazilian Portuguese, you fucknut. Wrong again, wow, you dumb
totally
poster. I saw that. So it was the English version with Portuguese subtitles. And it was amazing to see what jokes translated. You know what I mean? And a Brazilian, completely Brazilian audience, what jokes made it. And there's some all right, but it is a guilty pleasure. Like, I would totally watch that if I was like...
What happened was, is I saw 2 weeks' notice when I had a cold, mm-hmm. and I fell in love with this guy, the director-writer guy, uh-huh. who, and I was like, so the next time it came out, music and lyrics, I'm in. And then the one after that was with Sarah Jessica Parker, and it was The Morgans. And it was the worst movie ever, The Morgans. It made you want to just
fucking
hold.
Have you heard about The Morgans?
Yeah, that was it. It was the one that made you want to drown
him. I don't know if you know
him.
This, but New Yorkers don't know how to function outside of Manhattan. I don't know if that point was made 8,000 times.
Here's an idea. Don't write a movie ever not set in New York.
Ever.
Because that guy is not good at that. These two are both set in New York, 2 weeks' notice in Music and Lyrics.
That point was also made in Wanderlust recently.
Was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are total guilty pleasures.
My favorite movie.
It is one of my good films.
Oh,
that's such
Peter
a good
O'Toole.
Film. Out of print.
Really? So you bought this when it came out?
I bought that 1,000 years ago. You could tell because it's all weirdly cardboardy.
Wow, it is weirdly cardboard. Peter O'Toole plays basically, and it's directed by Richard Benjamin. He basically plays a Errol Flynn type.
Yep.
Guy in the end of his career, and there's a young
Mark Lynn Baker
is like working
Stone. He's a writer.
Yeah, he's a writer, and he's following him around. And you get it's awesome.
It is one of the perfect. It's the Shawshank Redemption of comedies.
It is, and it also is.
It doesn't have a bad scene in it,
and it also is one of these sort of love letters to old Hollywood.
Yes,
you know, and which is it's really cool. Like, God, this is such a great little movie that just didn't.
Yeah, that ought to be first. It should be played all the time.
It should be like an AFI Top 100, and it just got overlooked.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And how Peter O'Toole, who obviously, you know, he's later in his life, and they did this in the 80s, so he'd already been this giant.
Lawrence of Arabia. He's already.
Yeah. All these giant movies. So he really.
I've never seen, by the way. Lawrence
no,
of Arabia.
Oh, my God.
I know it.
Get out of here.
That's in everyone's DVD collection, except yours.
How is goddamn Big Easy and you don't have Lawrence of Arabia?
I know. I understand he dies in the end. No, I have no idea. I know it.
This was a great episode, but now.
ruined.
All right. We might have to. You asked us how often we edit. Yeah, our episodes. This might be the first time.
I definitely. It's on the to see list. Obviously, it's on everyone.
Move it up a couple, kiddo.
Really? Do you want me to put it
before you come back?
Justice League Unlimited. Put it in front of that in my Netflix queue.
You've already seen all of the Justice League Unlimited.
Yes.
You're watching Young Justice now.
I haven't seen Justice League Unlimited or Young Justice. My DC knowledge is tink. You get to bottom real quick. I'm more Marvel than DC. More Marvel. But
the cartoons will catch you up.
Yeah, that'll be great. That'll be great because...
those are all on Netflix.
Young Justice is still airing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Young Justice is still airing.
You got to get DVDs.
DVD.
Yeah. Okay. But I'm on board. And I have... The only DC I'm reading right now, I'm reading Teen Titans and Superboy. And I'm also reading Batgirl and Batwoman. Oh, wait. And I'm also reading Lost Legion. But there's...
would you like to retract your original statement?
I'm getting into DC now. But I don't like Superman and Batman because they're too... They're canonized too much. I don't know enough... I don't have enough... I haven't been to the long boxes. I don't have enough backstory. I'll watch every movie. I'll watch them all. I can't wait for the next Batman movie, but I don't care. That guy's a sad sack, man. I was just like, why are you so sad, Batman? Things are working out. I don't understand why Batman and Spider-Man aren't happier. Like, you know,
well, Spider-Man.
That would take another couple of hours to go through.
It's true. We're
I think Spider-Man should be happier. Batman, I understand why.
Bill Batman?
Bill Batman. He likes playing golf on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
What did I say, Spider-Man?
No, I'm just being I love saying it like that myself. Spider-Man, I love saying program and robot.
Spider-Man, get in here. Where are these reports? Green Goblin had his in 2 weeks ago.
No.
Where are yours?
That's not the robot's problem. I have a glass of milk and asleep on a pillow.
You know what? I'm looking at one of these movies right now that is definitely underrated. I know not many people saw it. Defending Your Life.
Oh, my God.
That's a great movie.
That's a great movie.
There are no black people in this heaven.
No. This is it's a Mormon thing. Heaven. It's a heaven of they've only let, the Mormons only let black people into heaven about 20 years ago. I don't know if you heard about that.
White Hollywood.
Yes.
Where you go. There's funny.
But it's a great movie.
Albert Brooks, Meryl Streep. Yeah. I'll tell you, this is Albert Brooks at his, at his kind of peak, really.
Yeah.
This real life. I mean, these movies are just absolute classics.
Although this new
Rip Torn,
all right, going
though,
back, going
Rip Torn fixes all things.
Going back to the Steve Carell argument, the Albert Brooks now when he played the mob guy
in Drive.
Show me more of that Albert Brooks.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. Here's the thing. And some directors get this, not many. Most comedians have a lot of rage. There's a lot of rage in us.
Yeah.
And if you can direct
it. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you can tap the sad and the rage, you have some amazing actors.
And you can get actors that are going to have a depth that.
And can be funny, too.
That can be funny.
I mean, that type of anger and rage is what you would find in Batman and Spider-Man.
Batman is so angry because his parents were murdered.
Right, but Spider-Man has he's a scientific genius. Why is he delivering pizzas and taking photographs for a living? There has to be a way that he can earn a decent living. Bendis, if you're listening to this.
Spider-Man, I think you should
get a job, man. You're not living up to your potential.
You're a college-educated superhero.
Yeah, exactly. There's work for you. I don't understand why you would be delivering pizzas and taking pictures.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, Harold and Maude. There's a classic. People love that,
come
right?
Come on now.
Harold and Maude. You guys love Harold and
Victor Victoria? So oh, man, that's a good film.
Wow, it's very rare that you actually see on the back of a movie description, the DVD actually says, a classic cult film.
Yeah.
You know, just like,
this
is a cult
film.
Yeah. You're just one of the screen's most unlikely pairs.
There's more guilty pleasures under there. All right. Yeah. Oh.
We should cut off one of your hands for not having Lawrence of Arabia in this collection.
I know it is brutal. It's, but, Now, is there a director's cut of that that I should watch? What should I? Anything?
Actually,
They're
you know what?
Good?
That was it's more of a restored version. They restored it. Yeah,
yeah. It's get a restored version at David Lane. Chris and I have talked about this. We saw it. They showed it at the Cinerama Dome like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was amazing. In the theater.
Oh, I think I remember when that came out, and I was going to go see it.
Unbelievable.
You'll also be happy to know I've never seen The Godfather 2.
That's our show.
Yeah, all right. you have some homework, Jackie Cation.
Let me tell you about The Godfather 1. When that,
well, you
there's
don't
that
like
long
sad things.
A little too mobby.
It's a little mobby. When they get married, and then there's that long shot, and the guy kisses his ring, spoiler alert, all I could think is, I bet you their relationship's not going to work out. That's what I think. I bet you they're going to have some trouble.
You know what? This brings us to a good point. There's always those classic movies that everyone has seen that we've never seen. Everyone has those in our collection.
I'm trying to think. Chris, do you have one that you have not seen that everyone has seen?
There's a few of them in here. Actually, I was looking.
Roger Rabbit.
Actually, Victor Victoria is one I've never seen.
Well,
you would. The thing is Victor Victoria is in the world of like Defending Your Life. My favorite year in Victor Victoria, that'd be my favorite night of movies, quite honestly, to watch all three of those in a row. Next to, of course, the five Avengers movies leading up to.
You have to watch those five movies before anything. Before you watch Lords of Arabia.
Exactly. Before I watch anything decent. I've got...
Make sure you watch Iron Man 2 after Hulk. Before you watch Lords of Arabia.
So, all right, Graham, how about you?
If it's not Victor Victoria.
I can't think of any right now.
Did you watch every Lord of the Rings movie?
Oh, well, those aren't classics, and no, I haven't seen them.
Wrong, and okay.
I refuse to acknowledge that they're classics, and yeah. I don't like them.
All right, how about in Jackie's collection?
Yeah.
Well, L.A. Story. Boy, I never saw
that. Wow, really?
No, I saw that.
You saw that.
How about...
right there. You're touching it. Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh.
And there you go.
Never saw that one.
I'll tell you something. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Treat Williams. And it, the songs, I mean, do you like musicals at all?
Not really.
Does at the end, but does he? He doesn't. See, it's sad,
again.
But it's not sad.
We all don't die. We just change energy.
Resurrection. Mm. How about Pan's Labyrinth? Did you see Pan's Labyrinth?
No, I did not see Pan's Labyrinth.
That's another amazing movie.
Okay.
It's a great movie. It's really
Movie. Disturbing, but not in like a classic horror kind of way. It's Jackie, see if you can describe how disturbing Pan's Labyrinth is.
Pan's Labyrinth is just disturbing in the fact that it feels it's sword and sorcery. It's a sorcery movie, right? It's a movie about magic and about the world of elves and goblins and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But it's also the world of Nazis and Spain.
It's based in a horrible Spanish reality of World War One?
Two. It was right before World War Two. It was the Spanish Civil War.
Right.
And
it showed just how brutal it was.
Think Hemingway and goblins. And so it's surreal and awesome.
Alcoholism and...
oh, yes.
But that's actually accurate. That's what it was like. You're like, is this a fantasy movie or a tragedy about a Spanish war film?
Right,
and
right.
And it's both.
Yeah, it is both. It is both, and it is exceptional. It's exceptional, quite honestly.
I'm thinking about, when you're talking about fantasy movies, I'm looking in the fantasy chapter that you wrote, Jackie, and I was flashing to Excalibur, which is a movie I very much liked and saw it as a kid. It
right.
came out in 1981. And here's what you wrote about it that always made me laugh. He goes, it's another really good-looking movie. I think it was the Lord of the Rings of its time. Admittedly, it's got problems. There seems to be a lot of shouting, you put in all caps, and the people enjoy staring at each other, which I so remember because it's all these British actors just staring.
it's Harry Eyeball. Harry Eyeball.
They stare, and then there's quiet, and then they start shouting.
Yeah.
Like instantly.
It's the Dragon Ball Z of whatever. It's just like, are we just gonna pose and flex at each other? It's like, welcome to the gun show, circa Arthurian legend. And I enjoyed Excalibur.
If
you haven't seen it, there's a window. You know, there's a window where, like, when you read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you have to be in a I appreciate sarcasm kind of situation.
Yes.
And if you're post sarcasm. It's going to be hard.
And
shout staring.
Shout staring. Excalibur may not be for you.
And if you don't like British humor, chances are you won't like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah. All right. Anything else before we?
Oh, this was great.
Put a bow on this bad puppy.
I like it.
I like it a lot too.
We're
going to do this again.
We are going to do this again.
CFN DVD closet.
We're going to bring some people in here and see what they got. Because
they're going to have CFN to bring. They're going to have to bring their DVDs.
Physically
this is a great idea.
Them. I need to hold it.
Right. It is kind of nice. And I could have brought out of the celluloid closet, which is I only own like three documentaries. I own Dogtown and Z Boys.
Excellent documentary.
Excellent documentary. Out of the celluloid closet.
That I currently live in.
And Ararat, which is an Armenian one that I've never been able to watch. It's about the pomegranate, as far as I can tell, because I've only made it through the first scene.
It's
and
not
I'm
about
like,
the Armenian genocide.
I don't care.
It's just about pomegranates.
I'm sure it's about the Armenian genocide.
Sure.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Never forget.
Never forget, Jackie.
Yeah.
I will say this real quick, getting to Dogtown and Z-Boys.
Yes, please. End on that.
The Horizons West Surf Shop that all started in, that...
Started during the Armenian genocide.
That's the Turks started their first skate shop.
That's nice. They do good work with espresso.
It was originally hookahs and surfboards. But that actually went out of business. It was on Main Street in Santa Monica in the old Dogtown. And that.
And you're a surfer.
Yes.
And you're a surfer, so you care.
I used to go in that surf shop. And
yep.
Foreigners and stuff would come from all over. It was like Mecca to them. But then they're like, there's a contract thing. And Randy, you owned it, lost it. So
boo.
Boom, boom. But some of those places that they still. Here's another crazy piece of trivia from Dogtown and Z-Boys. When they're skating at that junior high in Brentwood, there's
oh,
those
right.
banked things.
Yeah.
Two pieces of trivia. One, I used to be in a pickup basketball game there that like Nick Schwartzen and Jamie Kennedy would regularly, we'd all regularly play in. One time, Leonardo DiCaprio shows up to play, and he's tall. And a little soft downtown, though. A little soft down low. I could muscle him out, get a rebound. Easy. Sorry, Leo. No Oscar for you. No rebound. and that is the junior high where O.J. Simpson's kids were going to school during that whole event.
And now they're living in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Because they had to be removed from the sitch. But Dogtown and Z-Boys was a great... It was a classic L.A. kind of thing because for some reason... In Los Angeles, even if you were poor in 1972, you had a camera, a movie camera, because they were not rich kids, but they all had...
The Super 8 footage and Stacy Peralta, I think that might be his first movie that he directs. It's great.
Yeah.
It is... You don't have to be a fan of skateboarding or anything like that to understand. And it's the way they did it, and Sean Penn does the voiceover, and it's really cool... What they did.
It's just, it's fascinating is what it is. It's
how they did, when they did it. And then you watch that and then watch Riding Giants, which
I would love to see, which is Stacy Peralta as well, right?
It's about big wave surfing and the history of surfing. That's another.
I think I've seen parts of it.
He's a great documentarian. He also did Bloods versus Crips, which is another great LA story.
Oh, okay.
These are all very good films. So check out Stacy Peralta's work, I guess, is the big plug at the end of the show. I don't know. That's the great thing about DVD closet. You never know what you're going to find in there.
No.
You don't know where we're going to end up.
Yep.
Could be a dog town.
Thanks for having me.
So Jackie Cation, where can our fine fans find you?
JackieCation.com or DorkForest.com, where Dork on Dork dialogue is happening.
And very exciting.
Dork on Dork dialogue.
Jackie will be also part of the podcast festival in October.
Yes. Oh, that's right. That's right. And I'm working on getting that together. And then, hey, I was just published in a book about movies.
What's that called?
It's called Comedy Film Nerd's Guide to Movies, if I remember correctly. The weird thing about it is that the other chapters are written by other hilarious comics, and it's everybody knows a lot, and they're super fun, and it's a really good book. People should buy that.
That sounds dumb.
Great idea.
What a shitty book. Yes, autographed copies of Comedy Film Nerd Guide to Movies available at comedyfilmnerds.com.
Yep, and Jackie does the musicals and the fantasy.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, that's our show. Of course, tour dates for everything I do is at grahamelwood.com.
And as always, check the site for, we have different content on the site for new reviews, always. And you can also check out the Facebook and Twitter feeds.
Yes. And tell us what is in your DVD closet, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again to Jackie Cation. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
In the closet.
Yeah. Wait, Han was gay?
No.
I don't get it.
No, he just shot in the closet.
Oh. Well, see, now you're making it creepy.
Yeah.
The ricochet would have killed him.